Thank you so much, Miss Rose. What an amazing testimony of God's grace and His power. And I think we can all, if we know the Lord Jesus, we can relate to that story she just sang about. Amen. He takes something and He makes it beautiful. Do turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. And we're looking at these three little sections. I captured it with just the beware, unknown, and the wise man. Just three little sections. It's the first thing we're told is to beware of false prophets. And he tells us why we should beware of false prophets. The next thing he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he goes on to say, who will enter the kingdom of heaven is the one who does the will of my Father. And so you're seeing a compare and contrast there. And the last little section there is about a wise man and a foolish man. And we're going to look at the wise man who is prepared for the storm. He builds well. He builds on a strong, firm foundation. And the foolish man is worried about the world and he does not build well. He builds on shifting sand. He is not prepared for the day that is coming. So I want to talk to you about those things this morning. We'll start there in the first verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now we hear all throughout the scriptures, through the epistles, the Apostle Paul telling the church of Corinth, the church of Colossae, the church of Galatia, to beware of these false prophets. Why are we to beware of the false prophets? Because our enemy clothes himself as an angel of light. He comes to us in a beautiful package, and he comes around us in of people that look the right part. The clothing there, the sheep's clothing, wasn't necessarily, it was maybe the clothing of a shepherd that would be worn. So it's making reference there to a leader. A leader would have the proper clothing of a shepherd. But one of the things we can know about false prophets is just give it time. Time will tell. Time will help us understand if a prophet is false. And we should watch closely. In the day of the Old Testament, many of the prophets were seen and they were watched. And obviously, if their message didn't come true, thus says the Lord, and the message didn't happen the way the Lord said it was going to happen, we could deem that prophet as a false prophet. And there was a serious destruction consequence for false prophets to the people of Israel. Also, you could look at a person's teaching. And if it didn't line up with the teachings of Scripture, the teachings of the gospel, if it was heresy, this person would be labeled a false prophet. In many days, in the day in which we live, there's a lot of false prophets standing in pulpits today. They're not building and strengthening and empowering people to grow in the Lord. What they're doing is they're building a cult. They're tickling ears. And in the last days, we know that there are going to be many false prophets looking like that of the spirit of the Antichrist is all around us today. And this Jesus finishing up his sermon, he says, beware. It's like you're going down a road and you're coming up on the cliff and you're walking through the caves and you come up on this little danger area and it says, beware. Beware. Take notice. Be careful. Be alert. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. It says you will recognize them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles. Grapes and figs are a whole lot different than thorns and thistles, right? I mean, one of the highlights of being around my grandfather, he had these fruit trees, these apple and pear trees, and he had these cows. And anytime we were sitting out there, the cows would come up to the fence, and we loved to pick up those old rotten apples and oranges. Rotten apples and pears that were on the ground that usually had the little yellow jackets all over them. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If you live on a farm, the bees and the yellow jackets are going to find the rotten fruit, right? We would pick up the rotten fruit on the ground and we would take it out. More of those cows loved the rotten fruit. But never once did I go to maybe try to, and there was usually plenty of rotten fruit on the ground. We didn't have to pull the good fruit off the tree. But, you know, never once did I go to get an apple or a pear and see thorns and thistles on that apple tree or that pear tree. The good tree produced the good fruit. Apple trees produced apples, and the pear trees produced the pears. And then you've got the bad trees. And anybody that has been, you know, out in the woods much knows about thorns and thistles. And we try to stay away from them because they'll hurt you, they'll prick you, they'll harm you. And there's certain type trees that are filled with briars and thorns and thistles. Jesus is saying here, you'll recognize the false prophets by their fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree is not going to bear good fruit. And so basically that's why I wanted to tell you, your time will tell. Give it time. There's nothing wrong with watching our leaders. Now, I'll be quick to tell you that none of our leaders are going to be perfect. But praise God that Jesus has pointed us to Jesus all throughout this sermon. The scripture, Matthew, has pointed us to Jesus and how He has fulfilled all the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And thankfully that I'm going to, at the end of this message and being prepared, I'm not going to point you to a day to where you did a good deed or had a bunch of good works. I'm going to point you to a sinless, powerful, loving Savior who ransoms us and pays the price that we couldn't pay. But I will tell you that a false prophet can be recognized. In the scriptures, the controversies were, there was fruit that came with the false prophets. In 1 Timothy 1:3, it says they were filled with controversies. They were filled with divisions. They were always raising up myths and genealogies, and they were always starting frustrating arguments. You know what I mean here? There's always division taking place around them because they're not really emulating the heart of Jesus that loves and cares and teaches truth. They're starting arguments and starting fires and causing problems. False prophets also were recognized in 2 Timothy 2:18. Their faith is destructive. And I'll read that to you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 18. It says this, who have swerved from the truth. They're saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. There were certain ones that they just had bad doctrine and bad heresies and improper teaching. They were also self-destructive by heresy. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. We see another characteristic of a false prophet. They were destructive by heresy. 2 Peter 2, verses 1. It says that but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So be aware of false prophets. Look for them. Recognize their fruit. There should be love. There should be grace. There should be a care. Should be proper humility and trusting in the righteousness of Christ, all right? And the people that we trust and love in our teaching. But you know, the false prophets, they are, you could see them in their teaching, you could see them in their heresies, you could see them in this false gospel of you know, name it and claim it, and this prosperity gospel that God's going to bless you. Remember that wide road leads to destruction that we just talked about. And that wide road represented an easy life. If your life is easy and calm and peaceful all the time, it might just be you're on that wide, destructive road. The false prophets would tell you you're okay on the wide road because there's strength in numbers. The masses are on that wide road. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 here that narrow is the gate and hard is the road that leads to eternal life. Few will be that find it, but it leads to life. It leads to life. First thing we see here in this last part of this sermon is beware of the false prophets. It says, and I'll finish reading it to you. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Secondly, I put up there unknown But I ask myself, is unknown or known by the Father? Unknown or known by the Father? The setting, the beginning of my section here says, I never knew you. There's going to be people that on the last day or on that day, which is kind of interesting. On that day, what day? A day of judgment, a day of reckoning, a day after we have a funeral. And no matter how many good things the pastor says about you, what will make you right in God's eyes is whether or not you're known by Him. There's some people here that have prophesied. They've cast out demons. They've done all these good works. Jesus says, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. What some scary words to hear on that day. On that day. You know, you can look around. People don't need the Lord nowadays. They don't need the Lord. As I'm fixed to move us in a time of preparation and looking at the wise man building his house up on the rock and the unwise man, the foolish man that don't build his house and don't prepare for that day. I mean, if you don't think a day's coming of reckoning, why would you need to be prepared? I never knew you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So there's two types of people. There's people who do the will of the Father, and there are people who do not do the will of the Father. Known or being known by the Father is determined by whether or not you obey the Father. You trust the Father. You love the Father. And the fact that you obey the Father says that I believe the Father. James says, you show me no works, then I don't see a faith. True faith has works, has action. So true faith is going to prove itself in obedience, which means you're going to do the will of the Father, which means you're going to be on that narrow road which leads to life. The road that leads to destruction, the wide road, is filled with people who are not thinking about that day that's mentioned here. Maybe they're doing some good deeds. Maybe they're even preaching good sermons. Maybe they've had a wonderful time of ministry where they cast out demons. Maybe they went to church. Maybe they've been baptized. Maybe they've sang in the choir. Jesus says, I never knew you. Only the ones who did the will of my Father, I know. So the question I ask us all is, are you known by the Father? Because what sets us apart is being known by the Father. It says here in verse 20. I'm going to have to put my glasses on. My numbers are so little here in this scripture. Verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. Excuse me, I'm losing my place. On that day, verse 22. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And if you back up to verse 21, it says, only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Remember, we talked about the Father in heaven, place for all authority, all rule, all reign, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. He is King, He's Lord, He's sovereign, He is ruling and reigning from heaven, and He's guiding and leading. And those people who recognize that their King is in heaven, only the ones who recognize that He's our sovereign Lord, only those who hit their knees and confess their need for a Savior and confess their sins, only those who walk on that narrow road and do the will of the Father will be okay on that day. Only those. Y'all, I'm going to move to a different section, but we could spend the rest of our time right here, because when you look around our culture, when you look at our government, when you look at our community, when you look at what people value and hold dear to them, when you look at families, when you even look in our churches, you oftentimes wonder, how many are going to hear those words, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness? Father, known or unknown by the Father, I hope that you are in that category of people who do the will of the Father. not because you're trying to earn your way into heaven, but because, as Miss Rose just saying, there's been a Father who has revealed Himself to you through the blood of Jesus, through the shedding of the blood of Jesus, through the giving of His perfect Son to show that love, His love and His grace and mercy. And you at some point, and even at the point today, are proving your salvation because you are obeying a Father. The Father who loves you and has called you to Himself. First off, beware of the false prophets. Secondly, we were talking about knowing God and being known by Him. Only the obedient will enter heaven. 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, "But if anyone loves God, he is known by God." That's a huge revelation in revealing whether or not you know God and are known by God is if you love God. Your love, God, is expressed in your following His commands, being obedient to His will, wanting to know Him, spending time with Him. So knowing God and being known by Him. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," talk is easy. The false prophets could talk it. Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do many works? And I'll declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Remember, the righteousness, our own righteousness, our good works, is as filthy rags in God's sight. God will use a sermon. God will use a man, even though he's lost. I've seen it happen. We know this. God will use even His enemies to bring glory and honor to Himself. Many people have shared the gospel that have led people to salvation. They'll still one day hear, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Is that not crazy to think about? There are people right now that have done weddings and baptized people and shared the gospel. But one day they're going to hear, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." The faith that says but does not do is really unbelief. Faith equals fruit. The one who does the Father's will enters. Obedience is the key that unlocks the door. Let me say that again. Obedience is the key that unlocks the door into heaven. Not hearers only, but doers. True faith will not fail to produce the fruit of good works. James 1:22 talked about that. James 1:22. I said that true faith will not fail to produce fruit. In James 1:22 it says this, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Don't just be hearers. Many of you hear, many of us hear. But who obeys? Who is a doer of the word? Who is unlocking the key to heaven by obeying the Father? Speaks of our heart, right? Lastly, build well. The storm is coming. Lastly, build well. The storm is coming. If you'll go back to the text. Verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." You know, in 1969, there was a great hurricane that hit the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Some of y'all were alive. Hurricane Camille. Winds of upwards of 220 miles per hour. I was talking to Tim Womack, our meteorologist in our church this morning, and he was telling me the winds were so powerful they broke the measuring instruments that measures the wind. So we don't know exactly how strong the wind was, but we know it was upwards of 220 miles per hour before the measuring devices were broken. But there was a group of people in this setting of apartments called the Richie Lou Apartments in Pass Christiane, down on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, 1969, and they were having a hurricane party. The authorities came in and they told them, they said, "You need to get out of here. The storm's coming." They didn't have all the measuring devices and the equipment, the satellites and things they have today, but they knew it was coming. And they knew it was serious. And they knew there were going to be deaths if people didn't take caution and heed warnings. And the authorities went to these people and they said, man, you need to get out of here. And they said, we're going to have a party. We're all together in these apartments and we're going to ride it out. We're going to have a big time. And I'm sure there was some good drinks and a lot of good food. And boy, they having a big old grand time. Well, guess what? Hurricane Camille hit right there at Pass Christian. It killed over 200 people. It was about up 20 plus people, 28, 29 people in that group of apartments. Only one they found, or I say only one made it. And they found him 7 miles inland, hanging on the top of a light pole. They didn't heed the warning. They did not get prepared for the storm. Jesus is here talking about a day and talking about a storm that is coming. And in life, guys, we know and we've experienced that there are storms that are coming. There are ways to prepare for the storm. And there are ways to just not worry about the storm, like this Richie Lou community. Let's go back to the text here. It says this one wise man, it says he built his house on the rock. And it says what set him apart is a wise man. It says he hears the words of mine and he does them. Remember what I talked about? Obedience unlocks the key to heaven. Obedience is the sure, firm foundation that prepares us for the storm. Obedience is the key. The will of the Father, submission and trust in Him and His righteousness alone for salvation sets us on that firm foundation, the solid rock that we sing about in the cornerstone, in faith alone. I don't have the words to that song right here, but it was a good, good song to sing about in trusting in Jesus, our cornerstone. The wise man hears the words of God and he obeys them and he is prepared for the storm. But let's read about this foolish man. The wise man, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. Now look at verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. There's two types of people here, a wise man and a foolish man. The wise man hears the words of God, and he follows and obeys. He built well. He was prepared for the storm. The winds blew, the rains came, the house stood firm on a sure foundation. The foolish man, he probably heard the words, just like many of us. He might have even said the words sounded good, but he didn't obey the words. He didn't take heed. He didn't prepare. You know what? I think about the worldly person, and I think about the carnal person. I think about the one who is hedonistic in his desires and worldly pleasures. I think about that man being the foolish man. Think about the representations of the people that we know that leave us. They depart. Church is not important. God's word is not important. God's people is not important. A relationship with the Father is not important. Foolish is this individual because there is a day coming. There is a storm coming. I thank God for your commitment to Christ. I thank God for your commitment to His church. I thank God for your commitment to His Word. I thank God for your commitment to His commands and to teaching and training others for that day, preparing those who will listen. Can't help but to think about the days of Noah when Noah knew that a storm was coming. He knew that the floods were coming and he began to build a boat. He must have been a foolish man according to all the people around him. Have y'all seen that old man down there building that boat? Can you imagine the ridicule and the shame and the insults that were tossed at Noah? But the storm came, the winds blew, didn't they? The rains came. There was only 8 people in that boat. But the door was shut. They weren't prepared. They had built their house on shifting sand. There weren't a lot of storms in Palestine. There weren't a lot of times of trial. But there was a lot of sand around this Dead Sea area. And the person that was wise would have to dig down deep about 10 foot and find this sandstone, if you will, this solid rock, and they would have to build a sure, firm house on this solid foundation. But you know, in the summer times, these sandy areas would become real hard. It would look like sandstone. It would be molten or solid because of the heat. And people could build a house on it, and it would look firm, and it would look like everything was fine. Just like I was talking to C.A. Blevins this morning in their Sunday school class, and he said that many areas that people try to keep you from building houses in these spillways, but these people come along, and after 20, 30 years, they say, there's not been a flood. We're not going to have a flood. It's not going to ever come. And these people build these million-dollar homes in these spillways. Just like the man that was at the bottom of this volcano, and they tried for years and years and said, you got to move. This volcano that's smoking every day when you come out of your house, one day it's going to erupt. We've never seen it erupt. It's been years. Volcano's not going to erupt. At some point in time, and it did, that volcano erupted. At some point in time, the dam broke and the spillways were filled and million-dollar houses were washed down through towns, rivers. At some point in time, on that day is coming. There is a day coming for all of us where we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account. And I pray that we will all build well. We build well by looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We build well by obeying His words, following His commands, taking His truth seriously. We build well by investing in His church and investing in His people. We build well to train and equip our families for that day and to share the good news, to make disciples. We build well to take heart and to walk the narrow road that's hard. It's hard. I know people all around us are enjoying the luxuries of life, but they're not going to be prepared on that day because they're living for this day. They're living for this day. Let us beware of false prophets. Let us know God and be known by Him. And let us also build well because a storm is coming. The hard, obedient road is narrow, traveled by only a few, but it leads to life. Where is your treasure? I'm just summarizing a few things from this three chapters. What road are you on, wide or narrow? Are you building on solid dirt or shifting sand? Wise or foolish, obedient or disobedient? Are you going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you, or well done, thy good and faithful servant? Are you resting in works or a righteous Savior? Let us beware. Let us do the will of the Father, and let us build well, hearing and obeying God's word. When the storm hits, and it will your house will not fall because it is built on the rock, Jesus Christ. As I told you, obedience, true faith in Christ, and obedience to the Father is the key for preparations for the storm. Let's pray together. And Father, we love you and we thank you for your time, for your word, for our time together that you give us. Lord, we know that your word prepares us. It encourages us. It helps us to see that our labor is not in vain as we serve you, as we follow you, as we get to know you, God. We're thankful for your word that is a sure foundation that sets our feet up on the rock. God, we know that this earth is groaning for its redemption. We know that there's storms, there's hurricanes, there's tsunamis, there's tornadoes, there's earthquakes, there's volcanoes, there's warning signs all around us, God, of something that's broke. But we know you're going to redeem all things. God, there's also warning signs of sin and heartache and hurt and brokenness and division and discord all around us. But we know that you're going to make all things new. God, in the midst of brokenness and division and discord and wars and rumors of wars and storms, God, we know that these are signs that the end is near. God, I pray that we would heed the warning that on that day we would be ready. God, I pray that we would build well, obeying your word, loving your church, caring about our community of believers. God, I can't help but to think about all the people that are out chasing all that the world has to offer, that on that day they're going to hear, "Depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness." God, help us to heed, to obey, and to be faithful. We love you and we thank you, God, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ken is going to lead us. This is a time of worship, also a time of response. Would you